Thank you for being here. Y'all excited? Everybody good? Come on. Good. Now, all right, so here's the thing. You're going to be tempted tonight to zone out. And I know that because, again, when it gets really, really hot, we tend to get tempted to zone out. So I'm going to ask you to persevere. I know the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, but I'm really, really praying for you to zone in tonight because it's a critical time, y'all. This is a very, very important meeting. Now, when you walked in this place, you probably thought what I thought when I walked into that place, that like you're tempted to look around and see a really dirty warehouse, right? And with a hideous paint job, I might add, right? I mean, it's terrible. What were they thinking, right? Is the only, I don't know if it's basketball or a Smurf exploded, but something terrible happened in here. So I'll let you know kind of what this place was. It's interesting. This actually was a business where they would take luxury cars and retrofit them with bulletproof glass, with steel, and put weaponry on them and send them into war zones. How awesome is that, right? And so I had no idea. I mean, the guy was telling me they would put oil slick on cars. I had no clue oil slick even existed. I mean, they used to do that. Now, I find that to be sort of humorous and sort of ironic because here we are as a church looking at this building and praying about it possibly being the place where we will equip the saints for battle, right? Equip the saints for the ministry of the gospel. So it's encouraging, it's funny, and it's humorous all at once. Now, so I'll tell you this. So for months now, and many of you know the history, right? So for about 6-7 months ago, we had to get out of where we were at WPI or our satellite drive, and so we had to find a space that was month to month. A space that we could rent from month to month where there would be no long-term commitment so that it would allow us to look for our long-term space. So through much prayer and a lot of research, we found Regal Mall of Georgia. The beautiful thing about Regal Mall of Georgia is that it's a place where we could rent it out from month to month, have no long-term penalty, and give them a month's notice and be out of there as soon as we found a spot. That was the amazing, beautiful thing about Mall of Georgia. The unfortunate thing about Mall of Georgia is we've kind of lost who we were. Can we just be honest and real? Anybody agree with that? Anybody want to give a big old fat amen to that? Good. So here's the thing. We're looking at this and we're praying for this for a long time. Lord, would you show us the right facility? Would you show us the right place? The Lord, through a lot of different channels, has kind of led us to this place. Now, every step along the way, Emmaus Church has been a green light. Everything from meeting with the owner to having conversations about the zoning of this place and the possibilities, the potential. Just kind of so you know, there's also 20 some odd parking spaces back behind the building, so you don't get nervous. Just want you to be aware the reason we're not using those is because of what these people did before. There's lots of nails and screws and stuff that the owner was scared until they cleaned it out. They didn't want cars parking back there to damage the cars. But all that to say, here we are in this building, and obviously, the owner is open to work with us, and he's been really, really cool. He wants to work with us. He is really excited about a church being in this place. I mean, if this doesn't tell you something, the guy gave us the key and said, "Do whatever you need." There's a realtor that we've been working with who literally told us, she said, "You know, in all my years of doing what I've done, I've never seen an owner give a potential tenant a key and say, 'Here it is, whatever,' ever." So there's a lot of things happening that are really, really encouraging. Here's what we need to do, though. Again, I know when you walk in here, you're tempted to see a warehouse. Let me tell you what I see. I've been in this place 7 times now, toured through this place, walked through this place with different contractors and people having conversations, dreaming. I'm just telling you, the more I look at this place, the more I see a church. I see a church. I see souls saved for Jesus. I see victories won for Jesus. I see disciples made for Jesus. I see saints equipped for Jesus. I see Ephesians chapter 4 being lived out where in the church, the pastors, evangelists, prophets, and teachers exist to equip the saints for the ministry of the gospel and send them out into the mission field, which is our community. Like, I see a church, Emmaus. And so I'm excited, and that's what brings us to tonight, because we need to all come to the table tonight and talk about what this all means, because you are Emmaus Church. You are. Like without you, that there is no Emmaus Church. So you are Emmaus Church, so here we are. So we've printed all this out so that you can have this, so that you can take this. We have some families that are on vacation right now that are core people in our church. So right now we are recording this. I'm praying that it's working because we are recording this to give them CDs and to give them all this paperwork. Let's dive in, y'all, so that I can walk you through this and then we can expedite this. We'll have some time for Q&A, hopefully at the end. Some of you may need to jet out and find a restroom within a mile radius, though. And so let's just dive into this thing. Look at the front page. Go, therefore, and make disciples. There's a reason I put this on the front page, okay? So go, therefore, and make disciples. Obviously, this is from Matthew chapter 28. This is the Great Commission. Here's the thing, Emmaus. Just to kind of remind you, as the church, we don't have the right to reinvent the mission. You get it? So as the church, we don't come together and decide, hey, what should our mission be? We know clearly what our mission is. Jesus gave us our mission. Our mission is real simple. He said, go make disciples. So when we talk about being a church that is missional, what that means is we're a church who really, really, really cares a lot about this right here. We care a lot about go and make disciples. Like we want to see that happening. And if at any point it's not happening, we should get really nervous. We should come back to the table and we should call a timeout and say, well, what are we doing? Because we are called to make disciples. We're not just called to do services every week. We're not just called to preach sermons. We're not just called to sing songs. We are called to make disciples. We want to be about making disciples until Jesus comes back in everything we do. Which brings us to the next page. But before we even dive in, so here's the thing. Most of y'all know this about me. I'm just kind of a Bible guy, which means like at the end of the day, I believe that our church should be driven by the Word, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit of God, through his word, leads this church. So we want this church, wherever we go, whatever it is we do, we want to make sure it's like based out of God's word, right? And so that's the kind of church we want to be. And so before we get into like the X's and O's, and there's a lot of X's and O's we need to cover tonight, but before we do any of that, we need to cover some of God's word. We've listed out these scriptures for y'all. And so I want you to pay attention real quick to these passages of scripture. First of all, understand this. Three foundational truths we all need to understand and believe. That's important. Notice that it's not just three foundational truths we need to understand. It's three foundational truths we need to understand and believe. Because here's the thing, Emmaus. If we don't believe these things, at the end of the day, we're not the church. These three things are ground floor things. These are Christianity 101. These are things that as worshipers of Jesus, followers of Jesus, we just absolutely believe with all that we are. First one is this, foundational truth we all need to understand and believe. Number one, if this is the place God wants us to be, then he will make this happen. Right? I mean, again, this is not deep. This is not complex. This speaks to God's character. This is who God is. So Psalm chapter 115, verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Real simple. He doesn't need my permission. He doesn't need your permission. God does whatever he wants to do, and he doesn't break a sweat, right? He just does it. So if he wants us here, he'll put us here. He will make this thing happen. Job chapter 42, verse 2, Job's eyes are opened at the end of the book to who God is and to God's character. And he says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Say it again, no purpose of yours, no purpose of God's can be thwarted. You can't fight the purpose of God. I can't fight the purpose of God. God's purpose is God's purpose. He wants us here. He'll make it happen. Jeremiah 32, verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Don't you love God's rhetorical questions? I'm just looking at his people, look at his prophets, look at his nation going, is anything too hard? Is anything too hard for me? But like, do we actually believe that nothing is too hard for the Lord? Nothing. No thing is too hard for the Lord. And Jesus speaks to this later in Luke 1:37 when he says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 tells us that the foolishness of God is wiser than our wisdom. And it tells us that the weakness of God, if there is such a thing, the weakness of God is stronger than our strength, which basically means on God's worst day, if there is such a thing, he's still stronger than we are. He can do whatever he wants to do. So again, if this is the place God wants us to be, then he will make this happen. Now here's the deal, Emmaus. I'm going to go ahead and assume, I'm going to go on the assumption that you already believe that. Because if you didn't believe that, you wouldn't be sitting in this room right now sweating to death. Like, if you didn't believe that, you wouldn't have showed up tonight. I mean, let's be honest. If you didn't believe that God can accomplish the impossible, there's no way you would be part of a church plant in the first 3 years. Because the first 3 years of a church plant are the hardest, most frustrating, most discouraging years in the existence of a church. And so we're only 2.5 years old, and so there's no way you would be here right now if you didn't believe this, I think. And so I'm going to go ahead and go on the assumption that you already believe God can do whatever he wants to do. On to number two. Second foundational truth we all need to understand and believe before we dive into this. Church, the Lord uses the faithful stewardship of his people to accomplish his purposes in this world. Now, just so you know, that's Bible. That's just Bible. And I'm talking Old Testament and New Testament throughout human history. The Lord uses the faithful stewardship of his people to accomplish his purposes in the world. So we see it with Pastor Moses, okay? So Pastor Moses in Exodus chapter 35, like God calls Moses to build the tabernacle, which, you know what, essentially is the first church. The place of meeting, the tent of meeting, the place where they will come to gather, to worship God in all of his glory. And so Moses is called to build this tabernacle. And then listen to what happens. Listen to what Moses has to do. Poor Moses in Exodus chapter 35, verse 4. Listen to this. It's kind of long, but we need to hear it. It says this in verse 4. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze." So what's Pastor Moses doing? He's preaching a stewardship sermon. He's saying, y'all, God wants us to do something, so God wants us to give. And then he goes on to tell them all the treasures that God is calling them to give. And then after that, in verse 10, he even says, "Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded." So not only does he say, hey, God wants you to give your treasures towards this, he said, God wants you to give your talents towards this. Can you paint? Can you finish a concrete floor? Right? Let's use your talents, and then we'll read something amazing on down in verse 20. He says, then all the congregation, listen to this, y'all, this is huge. Then all the congregations of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart was stirred, don't miss that. And they came, everyone whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart. Get that, man. They didn't give begrudgingly. They didn't give because they felt like it was their duty. Out of a willing heart they gave. They brought, and it tells what all they brought, earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. So they come and they bring and they bring and they bring, says in verse 29, all the men and women of and people of Israel whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. That is important, man. The people brought a free will offering to the Lord. Again, it's not something that they brought under compulsion. It's something they brought out of their own free will because they wanted to see the purposes of God fulfilled. And you want to talk about revival in a church, man? Listen, this is unbelievable. Like, you know, God just showed up in a fat way when this happens. Chapter 36, verse 3. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him free will offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, watch this, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Like, you know, God just showed up when the pastor stands up and says, "Quit giving." That's what just happened. God stirred in the hearts of these people so much to bring free will offerings that the pastor literally stands up and says, "We can't keep up with all your giving." And then here's what blows my mind. Exodus chapter 40. You know what happened? Verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God blessed the sacrifice. God always, this is always the way it's been. God uses the faithful stewardship of his people to accomplish his purpose. You see it again in 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we have David. David's taking an offering to build the temple of the Lord. Again, God's church, God's place of worship, to bless the nations, to lift up high the name of God. And it says this in 1 Chronicles 29. This is the prayer. It says, then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely. Do you get it? They offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, watch this. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. So David says, God, thank you that you would allow us to sacrificially give back to you what is already yours, to see your purposes fulfilled in the earth. This is the way God's always done it. And some of us are going, man, that's just Old Testament. Oh, really? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, New Testament. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says this, the point is this. That's why I love Paul. The point is this. Some of y'all thinking that about me. What's the point? I'm hot. Listen, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you see a theme? Do you see a theme throughout the Bible? God's like, I'm not guilting you to give. I'm not telling you to give under compulsion. I'm saying I love a cheerful giver. I'm saying free will offering. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound at every good work, as it is written. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your needs for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Listen to this. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now get this, church. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. So Paul tells the church at Corinth, listen, you're giving sacrificially, and as a result of you giving sacrificially, you know what's happening? Lives are being changed, people are meeting Jesus, and worship is happening. They're giving thanksgiving to God because of your sacrificial giving. The purposes of God are happening in the world because of faithful stewardship. Okay, so this is just, again, this is ground floor Christianity, y'all. This is Christianity 101, stewardship of resources. And then number three, foundational truth we need to understand and believe. Number three. These are all, by the way, these form the foundation of why we're here tonight, y'all. That's why this is so important. As Jesus' church, number three, as Jesus' church, we are called to walk by faith, not by sight. Y'all, that's just real. So here's the thing. At some point as a church, you just got to kind of take a risk for the Lord. At some point as a church, you just got to kind of step out on faith, man. We don't want to be the church that sits around playing it safe, not willing to take a risk for Jesus. Or as I heard a guy say one time, sitting on your biscuit, never willing to risk it, right? Y'all, there are churches like that. The danger is we become one. We don't want to risk, we want to play it safe. You know, Ecclesiastes 11:1-4. We covered this back some months ago, y'all. providentially, I believe. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. I love that way of thinking too, man. How different is that? Like in our American way of thinking, we say, man, you never know what's going to happen, so you better hoard all your resources. Solomon's going, man, you never know what's going to happen, so you better give away a lot. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Translation, if all we do is sit around waiting for all the conditions to be right and every T to be crossed and every I to be dotted before we step out in faith, we'll never step out in faith. If all we do is what make sure there's no clouds in the sky and everything looks sunny before we sow seed, we'll never sow seed, man. We'll never take a risk. Like at some point, you're the church. You step out in faith. Mark 11, verse 24. Man, we're talking about this right now as a church. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. Do we believe that? Y'all, here's the deal. I'm not a name it, claim it guy. I don't believe that God exists at our beck and call, that we tell God what to do and we tell God what hoop to jump through and he does it. I don't believe that at all. But I do believe with all my heart, because I read the Bible, that God blesses faith. With all my heart, God blesses faith. What else do you do when a lady touches the hem of Jesus' garment and he says, your faith has healed you? Like God, at the end of the day, God blesses faith when his people trust him. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is, I love this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's such an oxymoron, right? Faith is the conviction of things hoped for, right? We're sure, we have assurance of what we hope for, but that's what faith is. I love how Charlie Spurgeon puts it, man, old dead preacher. Charles Spurgeon said this about faith: it is one of the most notable points about faith that it is sanctified common sense. That is not at all a bad definition of faith. I love that, man. Spurgeon's like, you know what, at the end of the day, you know what faith is? It's sanctified common sense. It's kind of common sense, because all it is, it's me going, you know what? God's God. Like he's God. He can do anything he wants, church. Now, again, these form the foundation of the X's and the O's. So on to the X's and O's. Next page. Here's the details. This is no news to most of us in this room. The current space we're in, Regal Mall of Georgia. The lease is month to month. It's a beautiful thing about it. That's what we needed. That's what we needed to be able to pray and search for our own space. The lease is month to month. Obviously, we have no 24/7 space because the lease is month to month at Regal, and we have Regal, what, 4 or 5 hours tops on a Sunday. That's it. Complications include, and this is just a few of them. I promise you the list is not exhaustive, and you know this. Complications include setup and tear down of everything each Sunday. You stay at the movies, man. I just no ability for our worship band to practice each week. Doesn't it blow your mind that our worship is by God's grace? It sounds so good considering these guys aren't able to plug in and practice every week. I mean, dude, most churches, they're able to show up and like for 3 hours midweek, they're able to plug in and practice and work out all the kinks. By God's grace, like these guys lead, which just gonna show how devoted these guys are, how talented and gifted these guys are, and how much grace God has given us. So we have no ability to do that, no place to gather for membership class. Here's the deal. Our membership classes should be working like clockwork every 6 weeks. They're that important, and they're not right now. We've done one since we've been in the theater. No place to do membership classes, no place to do the gospel class, which is a core. It's a core to our discipleship strategy as a church. We've only gone through one semester of it, not even worked out the kinks in that semester, not able to do gospel class where we are. No women's and men's Bible studies unless we rent out something on the side. No student ministry. We've not really essentially have student ministry the entire time because of the space that we've been in. We've done some student small groups and things like that, but student ministry, midweek stuff, haven't been able to do it. additional discipleship environments we have in the wings. So there are just some discipleship ideas and thoughts, some of which you'll hear about in a few minutes, that we have. They're on paper. They're awesome, but they're on paper. Because we can't do them. A long walk into the theater that is even more difficult if you're pregnant, elderly, or physically handicapped. Can I get an amen to the long walk? Yeah? We have tried to talk to the mall about this. We have tried to work out these kinks. We have tried to go into bat for our church. We literally got told by somebody representing mall management that, you know what, handicapped people, they need to figure it out. So pray for mall management. What did Jesus say? Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for mall management. Because that ain't right. Like, his mama needs to spank him or something, right? I mean, that ain't right. You don't say that, man. We tried to go into bat. We tried to alleviate that. Every other lady at Emmaus is pregnant, you know? I mean, we have tried, you know? Ladies are coming into church Sunday, giving me dirty looks, and how crazy is that? There's nothing we can do. Additional office space has to be leased on top of our worship gathering space in order to provide a place for pastoral counseling, marriage counseling, logistical operations, etc. It's hard to do a lot of intense pastoral counseling at Starbucks next to all the people listening to it. That's the current space we're in. Again, it's not an exhaustive list of things, but it's a nutshell. Proposed space here at 1820 South Lee Court. Square feet is 12,250 square feet, this total building. This building, if you haven't figured out already, the proposed floor plan, which we'll show you in a second, looks nothing like this. So take a breath. 12,250 total square feet. Worship space will essentially be where you're sitting, this half of the room. It'll be 6,000 total square feet, the worship space we will have. To give you somewhat of an idea, theater number two, where we're at right now in the Theater Mall of Georgia, that's 2,880 square feet around there. So the worship space would be twice as large as our current space where we're at the theater. We will have a welcome center. Praise the Lord, which means when new people come, we can talk to them. Here's the deal. If you showed up at Emmaus Church while we've been at the theater and you have stayed, you're a miracle. I'm saying you're a miracle. We're giving you a plaque. After this season, we're giving you a plaque. We will stand you up in front of the church and say, tell us about the work God did in your life, because it was obviously the Lord. It's hard. We can't connect with new people at the theater, man. We're doing good just to run out the back door and shake a hand or two. Total bummer, man. So what we see is new faces show up, and guess what? They leave. Because we're not able to engage them often. It's a tragedy, man. We'll have a welcome center, classrooms, at least five classrooms, restrooms built in, additional restrooms. So if you walked by the restrooms, which currently don't work, and you said, man, there's like two toilets, take a breath. The plan is to fix that. Five rooms specifically devoted to kids ministry. We're looking at a five-year lease with renewal options is what we're currently talking about. Here's what we will be getting. Real quick, here's what we'll be getting. A facility that will be ours 24/7. Come on. Let me see that hand, right? A place where we can grow. We can actually we can like be here on Sundays and not just be happy services are happening. We can be focused on people instead of focused on setup and tear down. Amen. Come on. It's what the church is to be, man. It's focused on people. Space to accommodate at least 300 in the worship space during one service. Obviously, if it's our 24/7 space, the opportunity to launch a second service. By God's grace, a third service. And then at that point, we just need to move somewhere else. Space to begin student ministry activities during the week. Come on, y'all. Like I was a student pastor for 10 years, man. This is close to my heart. We have to do ministry to students. We have to reach teenagers with the gospel. This has to be a priority of our church. Problem is, we can't right now, unless they want to go see Iron Man, right? A place where we can do student ministry, focus on student ministry, have student ministry, reach the teenagers within the 20-mile radius of this church with the gospel, man. Additionally, we'll have space to have training, equipping, Bible studies, and ministry meetings all at the same time in one building, under one roof. Again, a welcome center. We can actually engage new visitors every Sunday. Space to connect and build community on Sundays rather than feeling rushed out. See, that's the problem. Something about having a table leg whiz by your leg or by your head says, I got to get out of here. I'm not welcome. I'm in the way. So imagine having space where like the service is over and you can stand around and have a conversation. Revival. A functioning kitchen with a sink and with fridge. Better visibility in our community. I mean, let's just face it, you got a building, you got better visibility in the community. We'll look at putting a sign out on the corner. There's a few hundred people who work in this office park alone who will have to pass by every single day, and we can be missionally focused on how do we engage these people who work in this office park and just love them well so that they have to drive by this building. And even if they drive by this building and say, man, I can't stand what those people preach, but they love me and they feed me donuts. Let's go, right? More legitimacy in our community. Here's the deal, y'all. Right, wrong, or indifferent. There's something about a church plant that doesn't have its own space, something about a church plant that to the community seems temporary. A flash in the pan. Everybody's looking at you going, And then what happens? Again, right, wrong, or indifferent, when you have a space, something clicks and people go, huh, they must be here to stay. That thing must be for real. Volunteers, I love this one. Volunteers are freed up to serve in other areas, which means greater outreach and discipleship. You know why? Because instead of worrying about, let me put up the table and let me put up the chairs every single Sunday, oh great, now I'm burnt out and don't want to serve anywhere else. Instead of doing that, you can go, hey man, let me go serve at Salt Light. Hey man, let me be a missional community host. Hey, man, let me build a relationship right up the street right here in Buford with the North Gwinnett Co-op and serve there once a week with my missional community. Volunteers are freed up to serve, greater outreach and one-on-one discipleship happen. Emmaus worship team can now practice, pray, rehearse, audition new members, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are just a few of the things we would be getting. Here's the math, because there is math. God made numbers. We live on planet Earth. There's math. Just is. Here's the reality, church. Just some math for you. Current space where we are right now, our monthly lease rate for the theater plus offices is $7,000 a month. For those of you who went to public school like I did, that's a lot of money. A lot. Especially when you get it for a few hours. Just kind of makes you angry to write that check. Plus, there's additional cost of renting neighborhood clubhouses for prayer night, Bible studies, and membership classes. Then why do we do it? Because those are important to us. They're important to us. But at the end of the day, it's not real wise stewardship because you're getting nickeled and dimed on top of the other money you're spending for rent. So it's important and we do it. But onto the proposed space. If we moved into this space right here, specifically 1820 South Lee Court, our monthly lease rate would be about $4,000 plus utilities. Just so you know, that's less than $7,000. And we have it all the time for anything. Cost to occupy required by code. Here's the deal. We're not looking at building the Taj Mahal for Jesus. We're looking at getting in here and worshiping without breaking laws. Right? Romans 13, you're supposed to obey the law of the land. So we want to do that. Cost to occupy required by code, renovation, build out expense. We have not, We have not decided on a specific contractor as of yet. We're meeting with contractors. We're taking bids. We're getting information. We're doing due diligence. We're not just going with the first guy who comes along. But in conversations with contractors, what we've discovered is it's probably good to plan on the build out being in the neighborhood of $170,000 to $200,000. Somewhere in that neighborhood. Question, what would the build out project consist of? First of all, job number one, install some HVAC systems. Amen. Install fire alarm system required for code. Build adequate restrooms. Build, paint, and carpet classrooms for children's ministry space. We'd renovate the kitchen area. We'd build, and by renovate kitchen, I'm not talking granite. Don't get nervous. It would be clean. That's what renovate means, clean. Build, renovate the worship area. Patch up walls. They need it. You see it up here. Just follow along. We'll explain this in a second. We put in, that would not be the main entry. The door you came in while ago, that would not be the main entry. The proposal is that wall immediately behind you, the particle board thing, all of that comes down. It all opens up. The dock door back behind you back there becomes glass double entryway with stairs and a platform leading up. And the plan also includes making one of these doors right here, transforming it into a door which would be handicap access. That'll show the people at the mall. It also includes clean everything you see. Paint everything you see. Refinish concrete floors in the worship area and lobby area. We would keep the concrete floors. I kind of think they're cool. Maybe that's because I'm a man. We'd refinish them though, make them pretty, make them look nice. Permit fees are included in that. So here's the deal, y'all. Total funds that Emmaus Church currently has to put towards a build-out project right now, this is money in savings that we could put towards a build-out today, $145,000. That we as a church have in the bank. Ready, sitting there, praise be to God. And it's because you've given. Those of you who have given faithfully, praise God for you. So what we've done since day one is we've taken as much money as we possibly can and funneled it to savings. Book of Proverbs stuff, right? $145,000 right now, currently there. It's there. Funds currently needed for the project. When you do the difference there, when you do the math and carry the one, that brings it to about $25,000 to $55,000, somewhere in that range. So I just broke this down into numbers, okay? And these numbers are not scientific. They're just numbers to help you compute and think through what does that mean for people. Average Sunday attendance since January 1st, 2013, 187 people on Sundays. Now keep in mind, this is adults and children and volunteers and security people in the lobby and anything else that breathes. We probably even accidentally counted some people going in to see a movie. On purpose. Here's the deal. 187 people, but again, keep in mind, most of y'all ain't got perfect attendance in church. Because again, we're a small church and I see when you're not there. I'm just saying. But what this means is there's different adults in attendance at church every Sunday. So the amount of adults that we have who call Emmaus Church home is actually that number, if not more, probably more, who call Emmaus Church home. I just rotate through. Now, here's the number. If 187 people sacrificially gave $250 above the regular tithe over the next 2 months, we would have raised an additional $46,750. That's just math. Now, again, some of us can give more. Some of us can't give that. Hey, here's the reality. Again, notice the word sacrificially. If that many people sacrificially gave that much, again, here's what sacrificially means. Sacrificially doesn't mean it's easy. Most of us don't have $250 just laying under our pillow right now. Some of you do. But for most of us, it's not just laying there. So what it means is sacrificially means it comes from somewhere else. So maybe I don't buy a new summer wardrobe this year. Maybe instead of my $4 cappuccino, I buy $1.50 black coffee and kill it with Splenda. Or make coffee at home. Sacrificially simply means it comes from somewhere else. But again, Emmaus, that's just math. Now, church family, here's the deal. It is not my role. It is not my role, and I would never presume it to be my role to tell anyone in this room what to give. That's not what God's called me to do. But as a pastor of this church and as a steward of the gospel, God has called me to invite you to get on board and to give willingly and to be a cheerful giver in obedience to God. And so based on that, here's what I will also say. Some of us just need to start giving something. Because there's people in here who already give sacrificially above, over and above their tithe. And some of us in here just need to get on board and start giving something towards the advance of the gospel and the purpose of God. So again, that's math to help us think through this thing. Important question, we're almost done. How will this space allow us to fulfill our mission as a church the way that Jesus called us to do? Because y'all, honestly, that's the most important question. So what if we have a building if it stays empty 6 days a week? So what? So what if we have a building if we're not seeking to follow Jesus in this mission that he's called us to? So how will this space allow us to better fulfill the mission that God has called us to as a church, the way that he's called us to? Well, first things first, main worship gathering, encountering Christ through worship and the word. We will continue to gather for worship, to preach the gospel unashamedly, by God's grace, faithfully, launching more services as God deems fit to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus. Main worship gathering. Secondly, Road to Emmaus membership class. This is something that is, for the first 2 years of our church, was foundational to who we are, because we're a church that consistently champions this idea. It is the New Testament model to belong to a church, not just attend a church. That is the New Testament model, that we belong to a local church. We do not simply attend church services. You won't find that in the Bible. And my burden is that in some ways, not a lot of ways, because many of us are involved in missional communities and have deep-seated relationships and Bible studies and all that, but in some ways, our church, you know what we've become? We've kind of become another church that just does services on Sunday. And I'm going to be real frank with y'all. The only thing that sets us apart from the other churches that only do services on Sunday is we don't do it as well. Can we be real? Ain't no lasers and smoke and fire. But you know what? That's not who God's called us to be. We want to be a church that is focused on the mission that God's called us to be. And that's why I have such a burden when I feel like, you know what? To some degree, I feel like in some ways, all we're doing is services. And I feel like y'all have felt it too. I mean, can we agree that community has suffered the past few months? That sense of family, that sense of koinonia, I mean, let's just call it what it is, man. Jesus wants us to get back to that. And if that means walking away from Regal tomorrow, let's do it. Maybe it's just me. Anybody else? Leslie smiling. You with me? Bill, you with me? Good, because it'd be awkward with just her. I'm just making sure. Whatever she says. The gospel class, equipping believers to live as missionaries, that comes back full force. It is our vision, it's our desire that everyone who calls Emmaus Church home will go through the gospel class, because the whole purpose is to help the people of Emmaus Church to articulate the good news about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation to their neighbor and to their coworkers and to the people that they love, because that's who Jesus calls to be, missionaries. Women's ministry can happen right here. Men's Bible study can happen here with bacon. We have a kitchen. Student ministry, intentionally focused on reaching the next generation with the gospel, can happen here, right here. Any teenagers in the house? Jonathan. Yeah, buddy. Thanks for being here and not playing video games. Well, one of the things that we would really love to do as a church is something called Credo House. Credo House is basically, it's a discipleship strategy. You know, for 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, one of the things that we're called to do as Christians is add to our faith knowledge. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It glorifies God when we learn the deep things of God, when we think the deep truths of God, when we're engaging our minds in the things of God. And so we want to start Credo House. I love the tagline of Credo House. The tagline of Credo House is where shallow faith comes to die. It's a coffee-style environment where we get together. So the vision is this. We'll do, let's just pick something out of the clear blue sky, a six-week semester on a Monday night or on a Tuesday night. For 6 weeks, we'll do Credo House. And for 6 weeks, the topic will be church history, which I know really fires some of you up. But those of you that doesn't, you don't get fired up about that, you're the ones who need to be here most. Because you're going to learn. You'll learn about the church. You can learn about the history of the faith. You're going to grow in your faith. Or the topic will be theology. Or the topic will be church leaders throughout history. Or the topic will be hot topics. I mean, let's look at what the scriptures say about these hot topics in our society. And we're going to instruct and equip our people. Grow in discipleship. Coffee style, lecture style, growing in our faith in community. Gospel growth. We want to launch Credo House. The Boiler Room, monthly prayer gathering. We're talking the first Monday every single month in here praying. Crying out to Jesus. Because again, remember last Sunday? Prayer is faith in action. That's what it is. The Boiler Room, our prayer ministry, needs to be a vibrant part of our church. Missional Community Host training. You know what's been crazy about Missional Community Host? Man, the grace of God has protected and guided all of our Missional Community Hosts. Because you know how Missional Community, you know what the training's been like? We'll sit them through for a couple hours of training, maybe on a Sunday, and then we'll send them out and hope things go well. And Missional Community Host, you know what? We've done you a disservice. Our bad. We need to be training, we need to be equipping, we need to be rewarding you, we need to be loving you, we need to be serving you dinner for all you put up with. That's truth. Additionally, we'll be able to host Acts 29 church planting boot camps right here. In other words, we'll be able to train church planters all across our region right here in this space. Not only blessing our community, but blessing the communities in our region. Okay, so all that being said, what are the next steps? Here's the next steps, church. Here we go. And then after that, we're going to break and do some Q&A, and there's a gas station on the corner with restrooms, and do what we got to do. What are the next steps? One, probably saw this one coming. Pray specifically for the Lord to lead us every step of the way. Here's the reality, y'all. This is one of those moments where we need the Lord to guide us. We need the Lord to give us wisdom. We need the Lord to protect us. We need the Lord to guard his church. Those of you with wisdom when it comes to building projects, we need you to step up and say, I'm in. Let me help. Let me do a service to this church by making sure we don't get cheated. Amen? Like, I hate to say it that way, but that's the truth. Pray specifically for the Lord to lead us every step of the way. Secondly, pray for the Lord to provide beyond anything we can imagine over the next 2 months. You know what the goal is? The goal is that we see God provide the needed resources within the next 2 months. Here's what I believe. I absolutely believe with all my heart that if we are all collectively in this and giving faithfully, stewarding faithfully and generously, this will happen. Like, I totally believe that. I believe that so much that if it doesn't, I'm going to scratch my head and go, man. I just believe it. Give sacrificially, number three, next steps, give sacrificially, generously, and faithfully. Give sacrificially, generously, and faithfully. Again, sacrificial giving, man, it means it's got to come from somewhere. So my wife and I prayed, Lord gave us a number, we're going, okay, that number is going towards that. Got to come from somewhere. Okay, well, there's something we're not going to do now because it's got to go somewhere. But God blesses the work, right? He blesses the work. 2 Corinthians 8:9 talks about gospel stewardship, talks about he who was rich became poor for your sakes that you might become rich. So here's the thing we need to understand, Emmaus. You know why we give? We don't give in order to earn God's favor. We've been lavished with God's favor because of Jesus. We give because God first gave. That's gospel stewardship. I give because God's already given me everything in Christ. That's it. It's gospel stewardship. And then finally, use your talents. Use your talents. If you have experience finishing a concrete floor that desperately needs finishing, let's talk. Only if you've had experience, though. Not if you're just like the latest guy with a sander, okay? But in all seriousness, you got experience with electrical, you got experience with flooring, you got experience, like real experience with painting, then let's talk. Because y'all know what? Here's the reality. The more experience we have collectively and the more we're willing to get our hands dirty in this thing, the more it will affect the cost. So if that's you, let's talk. Let's talk. So here's the thing. Here we are. Here's the space. You see the floor plan there. Entryway that will be built in, welcome area. There's a reason we left the lobby so big. There's a reason you look at the lobby and go, why is that so big? Here's why it's so big. So that people can talk. So people can talk. So that maybe some tables can go out there with like chairs around them and we can look each other in the face while we sip our hot cup of Kirkland's Joe from Costco and talk. Which I know y'all love, right? You come into the worship space, the flow, all of those classrooms. There's 5 specific classrooms designated for children's area where all the children's furniture stays in there. There's bathrooms added in. You see where they will be built out. You can compare it to the mezzanine back there, those stairs that go up. The phase two eventually that wouldn't necessarily happen immediately, the phase two would be up on top, that mezzanine area. That becomes finished off and that becomes common office space. I like Travis. We don't need separate offices. And we're planning on whoever else we hire, whatever other pastors God has ordained for to become pastors at Emmaus Church, we're planning on them hopefully liking us too. Because we all share an office, baby. You see the storage, you see the kitchen. This is it. So our prayer is that this place would be transformed into a place where lives are changed, where people come to know Jesus, where disciples are made. And we all know what? Lots of incredible memories are going to be had among all of us. With our families, with our kids. Where we're going to sit at those tables that are in the lobby and we're going to tell jokes and laugh about the most frustrating days we had at the theater or WPI. And we're going to treasure the journey. And we're going to look around at us at the people who showed up after we moved into a space like this, whose lives have been radically changed by the gospel, and we will treasure the fact that God has blessed the sacrifice. We're gonna pray. These guys are gonna do one last song. And then if you have questions, you need to know 2 things. I'm here. The owner gave us the key, so I'm here. Not sleeping here, but I'm here for however long I need to be here. Secondly, if you have questions, email anson@emmausbible.org. Email. This is dialogue. This is conversation. But this is also action, church. This is stepping out in faith and obedience to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you again for an opportunity, Lord, to gather here this evening with my family, Lord. I love how over and over and over again in the scriptures, the church is referred to as a family. The church is referred to as the household of God. The church is referred to as God's children, brothers and sisters in Christ. So Lord, when I speak about my family, this is not just sentimental speech. This is truth. This is fact that there is a spiritual dynamic amongst us, that the Holy Spirit has knit our hearts together. And I pray that you do a work in us, Lord. The fact is that if this is of you, you'll do it. And Lord, that's our faith. Would we be a people of great faith? Would you give us faith? When we say, Lord, I don't believe, would we also pray, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Help me to believe. You are God. You are in heaven. You do whatever pleases you. Lord, we make no bones about it. Our desire is to see souls saved. We want to see the lost worshiping you. We want, Lord, in a year from now, we want to be standing side by side with people who today don't know you. People who today are atheists. We want to be standing next to them in a year in a space like this, singing to you with hands lifted high. Lord, would you allow us to see that? Would you, Holy Spirit, rain on us? Would you fall on us? I pray for the people, Lord, all of us in this room, Lord, we got an opportunity because there's people, there's friends of ours who are on vacation or wives who had to stay home tonight or husbands who had to stay home tonight or people who just couldn't make it tonight who now, Lord, we have an opportunity to go and to talk and to pray together and to cast vision. I pray that we would be faithful to you, Lord. We pray for your provision. We believe with all of our hearts that you are a God who blesses faith. We believe it because the Bible says it. We want to be Bible people who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, that your word is true, that what you say is absolutely true. And Lord, what we read in the Bible is that you bless faith. So as we step out, would we follow you? Lord, we won't move without you. We won't take a step without you. I pray, Lord, I pray just like your servant Moses prayed that, Lord, if you don't go, if you're not here, if you're not leading us, if you don't go, Lord, then stop this thing, Lord. If you don't go, we don't want to go. But Lord, if you're here, if you're doing this, and I pray we step out, that you would bless the sacrifice, Lord. I thank you for who you are. We bless your name tonight. I pray it all through Christ. Amen. We've got time to do. What we're going to do is we're going to take three questions just around, and I can't promise you I've got the answer to the questions. Just go ahead and tell you. So if I defer to the Lord, you'll know that I don't know the answer. But I do want to take the opportunity to answer maybe a couple questions. We'd get some thoughts stirring, and then we could ask questions after this is over and everything else. So, again, there's only three, so who's first? Anyone? I asked you to stand up and speak loudly just so that we can hear you. Mr. Obizo.
My question is there like a cutoff date that the landlord
is required to build out by, or is he being generous with the allotted time? Good. So here's the plan. We're going to have a conversation with him about what the cutoff time is. We do know that he really wants us. The question was, is there a cutoff time where the landlord needs to know something? We have to have funds raised. We need to get started. This, that, and the other. Am I understanding that right? So the answer to that question is we're going to clarify that with the landlord. Here's what we know about the landlord. He wants us here. He really likes the idea of a church being here. He is a believer. He loves Jesus. He attends a church in Decula called Hebron. So I don't know why felt like keeping that secret. I was like, what? So he wants us here, which is really, really cool. So he wants to work with us. He's been, again, when a guy gives you the key and says, but I mean, honestly, what are we going to break? But still, it's awesome. So we're going to have a conversation with him. Now, here's what could be very possible, is that we find out from him, hey, man, I need to know that you're making a move on this building within 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. And then at that point, here's what we do, church. We come to you as the church body and we say, hey, there's a commitment card in every bulletin and we're asking you, church, to put in writing what you're committing to give over this time period, over and above your tithe, so that we know, so that we have that pledge and we know that's there, so that we can then commit by God's grace and go to the landlord and say, brother, we're ready to do this. Here's the other thing, and I know by opening up this can, there's gonna be all kinds of questions. All I can say to y'all is, and this is not a carrot. I always feel like as a pastor, when I say y'all better be there next Sunday, it's like a carrot. I promise, not a carrot. There's a possibility that this Sunday, I might be giving you guys some additional information about our church that is a really cool opportunity for us that goes along these lines and helps us to save some funds to go towards build out. But again, I can't say more than that, because if it all caves in, you're going to be wondering what's up. So now that's ambiguous, but I'm just saying, all I can say is pray. Pray very ambiguously, pray this week, because there's some stuff happening that's a really cool opportunity for us as a church that will help us over the next few weeks. But does that answer? So possibility commitment cards where we get pledges where we know exactly what we're dealing with so that we can move forward. Which, by the way, is not anything. We didn't reinvent the wheel there. I mean, that happens a lot. So any other questions? How long will the build-out take? Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 to 7 years. After the term of the lease, we should be in here. No, we've been told, now keep in mind, this doesn't count the time of getting approval from the county, fire code, making sure everybody, we're good to go, they approve the plans, all this stuff. That takes a couple weeks in and of itself once we make a move on the building. However, we've been told that a build out will take anywhere between, could take anywhere between 45 days to 3 months, the building out of the place. So that's kind of time frame. But we would make sure that the lease doesn't kick in until right when we start building out, so that we're not just burning time on a lease. Does that make sense? Well, see, this is the thing. No to your first question. Be at church Sunday for your second question. So now it's not a seat, right? I mean, so what is it? You did that on purpose? All right, so that's three. I love y'all. We're going to get out of here real fast. Here's the cool thing. You don't have to rush out. We ain't got no tables to move. Now, if you are a guy with a strong back, Travis and I need to take these chairs back to the place where we got them last week. So maybe you could fold up your chair and just walk it to the back wall back there, set it up back there. Travis, show you where. That'd be great. But other than that, let's pray together, hang out, grab some more waters. Jesus, again, I thank you for this time. Thank you for the future. I pray expecting, Lord. I pray expectantly. Lord, I do pray for the stuff that's happening, the moving parts that are happening behind the scenes that I can't even talk about right now, that you would glorify your name, provide for your church, be our advocate, lead us well. We love you. We praise your name. Lord, protect us as we go back home, protect us through the rain, as some of us go back to our families even. We pray it all through Christ. And everybody said, amen. Love you, Emmaus Church. Hey, wait. Can I say something? I'm sorry. I totally forgot to clarify this. And thank goodness for my bride who knew I was supposed to say this and who reminded me a while ago, and I almost totally ignored her again. So as you, in the weeks ahead, you're on board and are giving towards this, will you be sure to indicate on your check that is towards building fund, will you be sure to write in the memo, building fund? Thank you, Chris.